throw in a little bit of my biography in my account, or just briefly, about the solidarity economy. In 2004, in the late 1990s, I was very taken by the anti-globalization movement, or the economic justice movement against the WTO, IMF, and World Bank, the desire for a backlash against what it seemed was a increasingly hegemonic capitalism. Coming out of that movement, I attended the World Social Forum in 2004, and it was at the World Social Forum, which of course had the catchphrase "Another World is Possible," that I first encountered the language of solidarity economy, it fit. It fit because I think that the language of another world is possible had been so emancipatory when it was first declared in 2001. My God, can you imagine another world? Yes, it's possible to have another world. But after that declaration, you can only make that kind of emancipatory declaration once. The second time around, it gets tired. The third time around, it's sort of redundant, right? And so the onus upon the World Social Forum movement, I had perceived, everyone else perceived, was to come up with alternatives. So when I attended the 2004 World Social Forum event, and I heard this expression, solidarity economy, and discussions of it, it caught my eye, and it opened up my horizons in new ways. The language itself was sort of was captivating for me, and that's what led me actually to J.K. Gibson Graham, the notion that the binary construction of capitalism versus communism has done such damage to the imagination of multiple generations in terms of the capacity to imagine alternatives, we need to find a way to crack that open and pry it open, and maybe change the way we see things. Maybe the issue isn't that we have to come up with new alternatives, it's rather we have to see the alternatives that are already in our midst. So that said, I wanted to explore what the solidarity economy movement means, or the concept means, and I discovered that there already was, by 2004, and certainly by now, a transnational solidarity economy movement that in many respects, here in the United States, we've been very late coming to this movement. So there is a solidarity economy movement. It is transnational. It is uniquely diverse. Does that make sense? It is a diverse movement, and by that I mean there is no center. It's deliberately decentralized. Solidarity economy means one thing in France. It means a slightly different thing in Brazil, a slightly different thing in Canada, in West Africa, and elsewhere. And yet they're all part of, they understand a common movement. Some of this solidarity economy movement is self-conscious. Some of it is like, we are the solidarity economy movement. A lot of other of the activities that I, for example, have mapped up here are not self-consciously part of the solidarity economy movement, but they reflect a certain, I think, a proliferating experimentation and reproduction and replication of experiments elsewhere along the lines of what I would call solidarity economy movement. And part of the project is building consciousness amongst these practices. So there's transnational, it's really diverse, it's expanding, and it's also increasingly institutionalized. So there is now a transcontinental network for the solidarity economy. They have a board, they meet regularly, they communicate, an international board. There are regional solidarity economy networks and institutions that meet regularly. The ILO is now meeting with solidarity economy groups to try to plan ways to restructure labor relations internationally. So I begin with then the fact that there is a solidarity economy movement. Then the question is, okay, what exactly is it? And so a slightly different spin than Malia had. I see the solidarity economy movement is an economic paradigm grounded in the principles of solidarity, mutualism, and cooperation, and that prioritizes social relationships over individual profit and the unfettered rule of markets. Or to use the language of Karl Polanyi, it is an effort to re-embed markets or economy in society, as opposed to having the capital restructure society in its image. Okay, that definition doesn't get us that far, in fact, when it comes down to operationalizing this thing. We want to ground this in economies in solidarity. That sounds nice. How do you know it when you see it? I found that there are two different levels of assessing solidarity economy. One is the organizational form. By convention, it seems to be sort of cooperatives of various sorts, mutual associations, sharing mutual risk, sometimes just plain associations, which is an ambiguous category, to say the least, and social enterprises also. So some basic organizational forms, cooperatives, mutuals, associations, and social enterprises. That is, in particular, in Europe, that's how they're defining solidarity economy. That's certainly inadequate, because there are a lot of cooperatives that are really abusive. In Brazil, a lot of agricultural cooperatives are killing people. In Canada, the agricultural cooperatives are really nasty. They want nothing to do with solidarity economy. So the organizational form definition is needs to be supplemented by something else. And you have a normative definition. So what norms are going to be guiding the solidarity economy? So I already mentioned a few, but cooperation, solidarity with members, and also solidarity across membership. So solidarity with the broader community and solidarity amongst members in a cooperative. Local control, democratic participation, ecological sustainability, perhaps pluralism, or equality, or justice. So we can come up with a list, and we have this. U.S. Solidarity Economy Network has come up with a list of norms. And these are particularly useful for assessing the organizational forms. It might be the case you don't have a solidarity economy initiative if you don't have an organization that sort of maps in basic form one of these. But you can't have that, can't be adequate. You need to use these norms. It's also the case that a lot of the organizations that fall within the rubric of the solidarity economy are hybrids. They might be really progressive or solidaristic in some dimensions, and really not so in other dimensions. And so the norms provide a way. So once you're on the table, once you're on the map, the norms of the solidarity economy framework provide a way to leverage and to pry and push in order to compel these organizations to become more solidaristic. I think that the thematic for the panel and the previous panel too was alternatives to capitalism. I'll be frank. I'm not sure how much of an alternative. If you're looking for grand alternatives, how much of an alternative the solidarity economy is going to provide you? If you're looking for an overthrow of capitalism, I'm just uncertain on that question. But there are aspects of these initiatives that are alternative, that don't conform to the capitalist norm. And I'm going to argue in a minute about the need to draw out those alternatives, the alternative character of these. There's another sense though that I think the solidarity economy movement is an alternative form of globalization. It's an alternative to neoliberal globalization. So there's aspects of it that are alternative to capitalism. There's aspects of it that are alternative to neoliberal globalization. And by that, I really mean to focus on the decentralization of these movements. That instead of coming out of a core Washington consensus model and a singular development model that's imposed upon the rest of the world, the logic of this is, takes the solidarity practices from where you are, that the expertise is coming on the ground, the relevance of a particular model, a particular initiative experiment is dependent upon the context. So instead of stripping out the context and then imposing it one size fits all, the whole paradigm is about the grassroots, and I think that's an alternative model of globalization. A few other points, and then I want to talk about the map. So the solidarity economy movement, it's transnational, it's also diverse. I've mentioned the geographic diversity. Also the diversity of practices and diverse places within the economic cycle. You have solidarity economy finance, you have solidarity economy housing, you have solidarity economy consumption, you have solidarity economy production, solidarity economy waste. There are different sites in the economic cycle, and you have this myriad number of types of practices. You have complementary currencies, social enterprises, fair trade, land trust, co-housing, eco-villages, collective kitchens. I could go on. That in fact might push beyond those initial four categories, cooperatives, mutuals, associations, and social enterprises I mentioned. One reason I like the language of solidarity economy, of solidarity in the solidarity economy, is because the language of solidarity coming out of its Marxist roots is about saying that we have a struggle here, you have a struggle there. Can we see ourselves in common struggle, even though that your context is different, your immediate enemy or opponent is different than mine, immediate struggle, but we can see find commonality. The solidarity economy provides a rubric for building connections between a land trust devoted to sort of sustainable living or access to housing, and a cooperative and a credit union and a time bank and recycling cooperative, an artist cooperative. The solidarity economy provides a rubric so that we can see these things as part of a common project, despite this diversity. okay, I'm a researcher, I'm a political science by scientist by training. And so part of my task has been to come up with a research agenda for the solidarity economy. One part of this is finding the history. There's some very interesting histories that need to be recuperated. The history of cooperatives, the history of utopian socialism, the history of anarchist communities, as well as the history of theorizing on these things. That's one dimension of our program. Another dimension is to actually analyze how the movement is spreading. How are these ideas diffusing? Who are the brokers that are carrying the concept from one locale to another locale? A third, and this is what I want to speak most about before concluding, is what I call a hermeneutics of emergence. And I take this concept from a sociologist named Paul Ventura de Suso Santos. And so if hermeneutics is about the practice of interpretation, I'm suggesting with this concept, as he does, that we need to interpret these initiatives, these practices, in a way that draw out the emergent potential in them, the alternative potential in them. So for example, look at worker cooperatives. Worker cooperatives are in some ways inserted in the capitalist system, but there are other ways in which they're not. Why don't we can look at it and say, okay, they might be producing for a market, but they're changing the relationship between owner and worker in a way that defy the capitalist form. A time bank, this is where you contribute an hour of your time and get an hour worth of someone else's time. That can be a really amazing way to draw in elderly who no longer can make a wage because they can't maintain a job, or felons who can't get a job. You can draw in these communities to contribute value. Take a community land trust that provides low-income housing that can provide a buffer for people facing difficulties in the mortgage market. These are things that are not conforming to capitalism because they're organized around social relationships, social reciprocity, and solidarity. So drawing out those potentials in a whole bunch of different practices is a hermeneutics of emergence. And then, only then, I think, we apply the critique. So first, I think we need to draw out the potential so that we don't dismiss them for not being radical enough. Draw out the potential and then say, okay, what are their constraints? How are they still conforming to the capitalist model? How are they still reproducing the maximization of profit, et cetera? Okay, now finally, I want to just put this into practice again. The ideology or the paradigm of the movement is about decentralization. There is a global mapping project for the solidarity economy to document it. Let's document these things so that people can see that these are alternatives. And let's not document it elsewhere, let's document it where you are. And so taking that back to Philadelphia where I live, I started to document solidarity economy practices in Philadelphia with a team of students. We went in and found about 240 different practices that I'm calling solidarity economy. We organized them by categories. This is a Google Maps version. There's a Google Earth version that's much more interactive and which may be more interesting. But if you were to, each category of solidarity economy has a different color tag. And if you unclick them on the right, you can select, okay, food co-ops, and you get all the food co-ops. You get all the community gardens. You get all the land trusts. And you could select that way. This map, we're still developing it, but it is already proven useful in Philadelphia. So the local Chamber of Commerce has seen this map and is actually using it to promote cooperatives. There's a meeting of cooperative food cooperatives. I bring the map, I show it to them. Suddenly people are building connections that they weren't already aware of. So in building solidarity, building connections. Okay, maybe I'll just end there. I can talk a lot more about this particular project. And I certainly in the following our presentations, I want to talk about the language of solidarity economy.